And it just cooled it off. It was awesome, right? God is so awesome. He can do that for our spirit also, right? Jesus' name. Y'all can be seated for a minute. I'm trying to stand up here without shaking off the platform, but we're going to be all right. I'd like to really thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity, for his trust in those that stand up here. I got to thinking as I was praying and seeking God for something to say, and I got to thinking about back upon my life, and I'm the grandson of a preacher. I'm the nephew of a preacher, and now I'm the father of a preacher. But I ain't no preacher. I just want you to know. So I just feel that this is an awesome opportunity for me, and I feel blessed to just stand here. I just was thinking about this pulpit, and I just know that there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of messages preached by this behind this pulpit right here, this very one. And to me, that is a little scary, and it's a little challenging. But I believe that every word that is said behind this can either hinder somebody or can help somebody. And that is really a big responsibility, standing up here. So I know that responsibility, and I don't take it lightly. And it's my intention tonight just to encourage someone in the Lord. I feel this thought that God has given me, it's really simple. I'm a simple kind of guy. I don't have all these deep thoughts like some do. And I appreciate those that do, trust me. But I just, it's my intention just to try to encourage you just a little bit tonight in the Lord. And if you don't mind, stand one more time. I just believe in, it's a good thing to stand to read in the reading of the scripture, but just in respect of the scripture. But I'm going to read this evening from Isaiah 64, 1 through 8. And it reads like this: Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, and we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And this last verse is what I want to focus on, but it says, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. And we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. I just ask that we would pray just a moment here and ask God to meet with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity, God. I pray that you would touch my mind, Lord. Give me the strength, Lord, to speak what you have laid upon my heart, Lord Jesus. We're clay, Lord, tonight in your hands, and pray that you can mold us and touch us, Lord Jesus, and make us what you want us to be, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for your great goodness. Thank you for your mercy towards us, Lord Jesus, and for your love towards us, oh God. We thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. This is my iPad, by the way. I I don't trust myself with that stuff. There was a man years ago around the turn of the 20th century. His name was Benjamin Warfield. He was a pastor and he was a biblical scholar that lived at lived then, and he's best known as a theologian of the doctrine of inspiration. Now that's pretty simple, really, which can be quickly summarized to mean that Scripture is God's word written, and that what Scripture says, God says. Okay, that's pretty simple. I mean, we believe that, you know, God's word is God's word. That's just the way it is. And he wrote a statement and said that when a Christian sees God, he sees God in everything. And he used an analogy of a window. And he said that when there's a window before us, obviously we're looking through that window, but sometimes when you're looking through that window, you see maybe a defect in that window. You see a smudge on that window. Or if you're as old as I am, you probably remember some older buildings that when you look at the window, there's some like curvature in the window and some little weird looking movement in the window, right? So we can... We really have two choices when we look through that window, okay? We can either focus on the defects in that window, or we can see the view on the other side of that window, all right? And then another analogy that he applied to seeing God in everything is that we could stand on a tall mountain or a cliff, and we could look out over a vast valley, or we could watch a sunset, or we could watch an ocean view, watch the waves just continually roll in or whatever. Or we could just look past all of that stuff and see God's creation in it. So I've had the privilege in my lifetime to this point of living in two beautiful states, and I've seen these picturesque views in both states. I've seen the ocean. I've seen the beautiful mountains. And so tonight, if I were to put just a little title on this, I'd like it to be The Work of the Master's Hands. Now, my earthly father is what I would consider a master craftsman. He's a brick mason by trade. So he lays stone, he lays brick, he lays block, foundations and whatever, or he did. He retired now, but he's bricked many, many, many houses, laid many, many foundations throughout the area where I grew up in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and probably even a lot of the surrounding areas. Well, about 20 years ago or so, before our family moved down here, we decided to build an addition on our house. And this house that we had purchased had this little small room off on one end of the house. And I mean, it was just a little dinky room. I think it was a porch, if I remember right. So we decided that we were going to tear that off and build an addition. And we decided to build, it was like a 10 by 20 addition. And that addition turned into being a master bathroom and a big walk-in closet. So we wanted to make something that had a purpose, okay? Instead of just this little dinky porch, you know, it was really nothing. So this project started with a plan. Most of the plan was in my head, but sometimes I sketched a few things out, you know. But I'd been around the construction trade all my life to that point. And I used to draw detailed house plans for different home builders back then. And, you know, before the advent of computers and all that, you had to draw it on paper on a board, you know. But I thought I could build this thing myself, all right? So I just proceeded one day to figure out these plans in my head, and I'd talk to my dad and back and forth and whatever. Well, My dad, he had helped me. He came out and we dug this footer for this thing. We did it by hand, shovels and all that good stuff. That's back when I was young. And we got the concrete poured and did all that kind of stuff. I don't want to bore you too much with details, but I got to kind of do this to go through this. But so once we got all that figured out and finished, we were kind of ready for the block laying, the little foundation part of it. So it was either one summer evening or one Saturday evening. You know, I can't really remember that part of it. But I decided to try my hand at laying block. I reasoned in my mind that, man, this can't be that hard. I've been around this all my life. I've seen my dad do it hundreds of times. I've worked with him through the summers, you know. So I thought I could do this, you know, right? So, as I began, I squared things up. I measured everything out real as best as I could, and put the little nails in the corners like you're supposed to, you know, like I've seen them do hundreds of times. And I set up the little corner poles that you set up and put the strings where they're supposed to go. And I just was going for it, you know, going after it. So I started carrying the block over to the little foundation, and I mixed the mortar myself, and I started laying block. So about 3 hours later or so, I had one course of block laid around that thing. Okay, it was 10 feet this way, 20 feet this way, and 10 feet that way. Just three walls. So I had that much done. So this is where I learned a valuable lesson, and I'll never forget what happened next. This was pretty cool. So I was standing there contemplating. I was just looking at what I had done with my hands, and I thought, I don't know, you know. I'm like, I was wondering, what did I get myself into? You know, what kind of mess have I got myself into? And as I was standing there contemplating, I just happened to turn around, and there was my dad standing there, just like this, with a trowel in his hand and a big old smile on his face. And these next words, they were burned in my memory. Not a lot stays there, but this sure did. He said, "Need some help?" And I said, you know, I never asked him for help. I never called him on the phone and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to try this project, you know. You know, you could show up if you want to." I didn't ask him any of that stuff. He just came by. You talking about one relieved young man. I was relieved when he showed up. I offered to carry the block for him. I offered to mix the mortar for him. I offered... You know, I said, I'll do all the labor work if you'll lay these blocks. He said, "No problem." He had all five courses done in about an hour, okay? That's what I call the work of the master's hand. He knew what he was doing, okay? He knew what he was doing. This puts me in mind of God. He's the true master craftsman. How many times have we tried to do things on our own? And trying to serve God and live this Christian life and whatever. After all, we've been in church for a while. We've got this, right? We know how it's supposed to be done. So we try to do it ourselves. All the while, God's right there with us, waiting to lend us a hand, right? Sometimes we don't ask for help. But he just shows up. He just shows up to guide us through whatever we've gotten ourselves into, to help us through that situation. He's waiting to build us up into something with a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. Now, I got to hurry along here, but I've got this chair that I brought tonight. I don't know how many people can see it, how many can. I'm going to try to drag it over here so everybody can see. But this rocking chair was made by the same guy that helped me lay my block. He made this, all right? Now, obviously, this rocking chair started out with a plan, okay? And it also started out with a tree, because this is wood, okay? This is walnut. Now, this tree, you know, as it was growing up through its life, had no clue that one day it would be cut down and turned into a rocking chair. It had big aspirations probably for its life to be big and tall, you know, to drop these little green stupid walnuts all over the place, you know, that you have to pick up and run over and all that kind of stuff. But something happened to this tree one day. This tree had to die, okay? It had to give up its dreams. It had to give up what it wanted to be, all right? This tree was used to make all the little pieces that you see in this rocking chair, okay? Quite a few pieces in there. I didn't count them for this purpose tonight, but there's quite a few in there. And each piece has its own purpose and has its own place in the final production, okay? Pieces, they have to be cut. They have to be sanded down. They have to be sawn, have to be glued together. Some of the pieces even have curve to them. Some of the pieces have to have heat put to them. You have to be put into steam, and you have to put it in a little fixture and mold and put pressure, and it forms it into that form, okay? If the piece doesn't quite fit, well, what's the guy do? He's got to remake that piece, okay? You got to start over on a certain piece of it or whatever. So it takes a lot of patience. So we each have our own purpose in the grand scheme of God's plan, amen? We get to a place where we think we're all that. We got these big dreams. We're going somewhere. We think we're grand and we have it all under control. The world is our oyster, as they say. But to find our real purpose, we have to die. We got to die out to what we want to be, okay? God has to work us. He has to cut us sometimes. He has to take this word right here, you know, and cut us a little bit. And he has to shape us into something workable. God is the master craftsman, and we are the work of the master's hands. Even though sometimes we feel like he's being harsh with us, his hands are gentle. He opens his word to us. He guides us along this plan called life to make us into a masterpiece. And he's stern, but he's patient. And it takes patience to work on somebody like me, you know? He desires for us to trust the process. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes the sandpaper, his word, rubs us the wrong way. So we think. All the while he's leading us and guiding us, trying to help us fit into his master plan. Ecclesiastes 3:9-14 says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything can be taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him." God does this for us. He's working this work for us. He's working through us. trying to get us to be something and try to give us a purpose. Psalm 138 and 8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." So God's in this for the long haul. He's in it for the long haul. If we want him to be. Okay? If we want him to be. There was another man by the name of John Flavel, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, but he was an English clergyman and he was a Puritan. And he was the author of a book called The Mystery of Providence. And providence is the protective care of God. That's what providence is. So he stated in this book that there is not such a pleasant history for you to read in all the world as the history of your own lives. If you would sit down and record from the beginning hitherto what God has been to you and done for you, what evidences and outbreakings of his mercy, faithfulness, and love there have been in all the conditions that you have passed through. Okay? If we were able to sit back and just think about everything God has done for us, all the times that we've come to church and felt his presence, all the times that we've come to church and heard the man of God preach to us, trying to help us turn into something awesome for God. He's done all this stuff for a purpose. He's done all this stuff to give us purpose. And he also stated that providence is like a curious piece of tapestry made of 1,000 shreds, which single appear useless, but put together they represent a beautiful history to the eye. So we have been through so many things in our lives, and when you're going through those things, at least I have anyway, I don't know about anybody else in here, but I've always wondered, you know, God, where are you in this situation? You know, what are you trying to do? You know, why did you uproot me and bring me down here 18 years ago? Okay. But when I look back at what God is doing and what God has done, I look at, this is probably where I'll lose it, but I look at two children, actually three now, we've got three now, right? But they're doing something for God that I would have only dreamed of. I probably wouldn't have dreamed of it, I guess, so many years ago. But God brought us here. If the reason he brought us here was for that, it was worth every mile. It was worth everything that I did, okay? So I just believe God is doing something great, okay? He has a purpose. He has a plan for every one of us in here. We can't see it right now, right? But we have the option of looking through that glass. We have the option of seeing, oh, I don't know if I can't deal with this. I can't, you know. But we've also got the option of looking through that glass and seeing what's going to happen, what God's going to do for us. And I believe he has great things in store for me. I know he has great things in store for you. And I just want to encourage you tonight that trust the process. Stay in the process, even though it hurts sometimes. You know, even though we just don't know if we're going to make it another minute. Trust the process, because I know God is in it. Pastor Brian, you can go ahead and come on up. I want to give you this last scripture, and it's one you've heard a lot of times, but it goes with this, what I'm saying, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Okay? So we look at all the things God's taken us through. If you look through that window, if you look over the valley, okay, If you can just see God working in that thing, He has a plan for us. He has a hope for us. And our hope is not far away, folks. I mean, it's drawing closer every day. That hope we're hoping for, that place to go one day, amen? And we are definitely the work of the Master's hands. We are definitely the work of the Master's hands. And there, I had an old pastor years ago when I first moved to Parkersburg. I was probably 18 or 19 years old, and his name was J.C. Cole. Some of you may know him or have heard of him. He was the father of Billy Cole, and I was privileged for him to be my pastor for about 6 or 8 months. He ended up, you know, getting sick and passing away. He was quite up in age at the time. But he had an old chorus that he used to sing, and I'm going to try to attempt that tonight. I don't know. We'll see. But it goes like this. I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. This happened to me in the car the other day, too. By the way, I got to this point and I couldn't make it. But it said, He will call me someday to His palace above. There I'll dwell by His glorified throne. I'll sing it one more time. I don't know if you can remember the word. I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love. And He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. There I'll dwell by His glorified throne. I heard that old man sing that song so many times, and it meant so much, you know. And just to be able to, that song just came to my mind as I was going through all this stuff, and it was just like, God, You're just so good. You know what You're doing. You're taking us places that we don't have a clue yet, you know. We just have to trust the process. We could stand this evening. If you're at a place tonight where you're just not sure where God's taking you, we got an opportunity tonight to come up here and pray and seek God and ask Him to help us, to trust Him, to lead us in this process. If you've never met this King, if you've never trusted in someone, this is one that you can trust in. And tonight you have an opportunity to meet a master. You have an opportunity to meet a master craftsman. He wants to take your life and He wants to mold it and form it into something that is beautiful. And I just believe everyone in here can have that opportunity tonight. So we could just make our way forward. We'll just begin to pray and ask God to speak to us tonight, speak to our hearts tonight. Amen.